Chapter 9. Dawn was only moments old, but Redwall Abbey was awake and buzzing. Today was the special day Abbot Carroll had promised. Breakfast was already being served from a large buffet table set up in the passage outside the kitchens. With laden platters, the Redwallers sat down to eat at any place which took their fancy. Horty and his friends looked out from the dormitory window at the scene below. Dibbons thronged together on the broad front step of the abbey, spooning down bowls of oatmeal mixed with honey and fruit. Any beast wanting to dine outside had to step carefully over them to reach the lawns or the orchard. It was a jumble of happy confusion. Muggum waved his beaker at the passing elders, who tip-pawed around him.
"Your mindy paws! You nearly trotted in this child's breakfast! Where's he manners, sir?"
Warm sunlight was rapidly dispersing the mist into a golden haze. Fenner, the squirrel maid, leaned out over the dormitory sill and dropped a fragment of scone down into the hood of Sister Setiver's habit, giggling as she drew back inside.
"Did she notice it?"
Horty reassured her.
"Not at all. She's toddled off down to the pond with Brother Gelf. I expect old Setiver'll be set upon by the first blinking bird that spots it. Should liven her up, what?"
Springald watched the infirmary sister balancing her tray gingerly as she crossed the lawn.
"Pity help the bird who tries to set upon her. She'll bath it in the pond and physic it silly. Look out, here comes Father Abbot."
The mischievous trio ducked below the windowsill as Abbot Carroll, Torren, Sister Portula and Martha emerged from the abbey. Torren lifted Martha's chair over the step and assisted Portula with a trolley full of food. They set out for the gatehouse together, with Abbot Carroll stretching his paws and breathing deeply.
"My, my, it's a good to be alive day. Let's hope we get a few hours of peace to tackle our studies."
Torren had to rap loudly on the gatehouse door to gain attention. Old Fred could be heard inside, arguing with an armchair.
"Come out of my way and let me see who 'tis. It's your fault being so comfy and allowing me to sleep like that."
A moment later, his frowsy, prickled head poked around the door.
Good morning. I suppose it's morning, isn't it? Of course, if 'twas noon, the sun would be much higher,
Dabbing his face in a bowl of water, the ancient hedgehog absent-mindedly wiped his eyes on Martha's lap rug.
"There, that's better. Oh, good, I see you brought breakfast with you. Splendid, I'm starving."
Martha ate very little, trying to hold back her impatience as Fred slowly munched his way around the food. Torren, however, got to the point right away.
"Well then, sir, how did your studying go? Did you find out anything useful about Lomedge?"
Fred nodded toward a dusty book lying on his bed.
"Oh, that? Take a look in the old volume there. I read it until I could keep my eyes open no longer. Quite interesting, really. Exciting little story, eh?"
Martha opened the book, its pages yellow with age and so brittle that they were cracking and beginning to flake. She read aloud from the neatly scribed lines of purple faded ink.
"Written by Tim Churchmouse, recorder of Redwall Abbey in Mossflower Country."
Fred interrupted her as he dealt with a hazelnut roll.
"It was written in the seasons of Abbot Mordelphus, the account of Matimeo, son of Matthias, the abbey champion. All about abduction and slavery, a search, a chaser, and so on. If you're looking for a route to the old Abbey of Lomedge, the descriptions are very long and complicated. But there's a map included that should be a help. Actually, I only got a third of the way through the account before I dropped off."
Abbot Carroll shook his head in wonder.
"In the seasons of Mordolphus. Deary me, that book must be nearly as old as time itself."
Sister Portula put aside her beaker of mint tea.
"The land will have changed a lot since then, what with rains and floods altering watercourses and storms blowing down trees. There'll be new areas of woodland grown over the ages, and I don't know what. Do you think it will be much help, Torren?"
As she had been speaking, the noise of stamping paws and singing voices had been swelling outside. Torn went to the door.
Who knows, sister? Great seasons! What's all that rackety din about?
Old Fred chuckled.
They're singing the summer feast song. What a happy sound. Let's go out and watch.
Martha was less than enthusiastic, since she wanted to continue studying the book. But the abbot patted her paw encouragingly.
You know, we can study the problem at our leisure, but next summer's first day is a long time away. They sound so joyful and excited. Come on, young'un, let's go and see.
Smilingly, the hare maid relented. Up and down the wall steps and all over the lawns, red wallers, led by Horty, were joining paws and skipping about, singing lustily to the jolly tune.
The sun could not shine brighter upon the summer's day. My heart could not be lighter, I'd hear the rabbits say. There'll be a feast this evening, so listen one and all. This afternoon we're round a race around the alley wall. Come over in the line, cows, and listen for your names. It's ready, steady, set, and go for Red Wall Alley games. There's victuals in the kitchen, good ale and cordials too. Our singers and musicians to play the evening through.